The Holy Gospel this 10th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. Okay, let's be honest. As I was reading our gospel reading today, how many of us almost joined in as I began to speak the words that Jesus taught his disciples that have evolved into the Lord's Prayer? I think I see a few nods. Yeah. It's a prayer that can almost become autopilot for us, isn't it? I have to be honest, I'm not sure I said the gospel exactly as it was written in our gospel text, because the words that we speak on a given Sunday have a tendency to pop out when I'm reading this text. But the words aren't entirely the same. They're similar, yes, but not the same. And we all can note that what has become our modern Lord's Prayer is more expansive than the prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples this morning in the Gospel of Luke. Now, recognizing that, we learn something about the Gospel of Luke and also about the early Christians who began to standardize this prayer that we all know so well. We learn what was central to the theology of Jesus as understood by the gospel writers, and we also learn what was important enough to be added on to this prayer by the early followers who came after Jesus. But for our purposes this morning, I think we can learn a great deal through just this text and the value of prayer that Jesus himself understands and how he shares that value with his disciples. Now, one of the values that is on display in Jesus' conversation about prayer today that is one of those I think is very obvious, but also one of the most overlooked traits of Jesus of Nazareth. We notice today that Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them about prayer in response to the fact that Jesus himself was praying. Throughout the Gospels, there are numerous reports of Jesus taking time to pray. Sometimes Jesus goes away from the group to pray, but on this occasion, it appears that at least his most immediate disciples are nearby during his time of prayer. And I think it's an important observation for us today. For if Jesus, the human who was so close to God that he actually was divine, divinely created, felt the need to pray, then what does that mean for us? Now, I'll admit, one of my personal growing edges is that of prayer. Now, sure, I might keep a running dialogue in my head where I tell God what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling at a given moment, but taking time to pray intentionally, especially when I have to take time to pray in front of all these other people all the time, it seems a bit much sometimes for me to pray for me. When in demand with so many people, when it's expected that I would be praying, it's a little bit different. It's easy, though, for me to forget to take time to be more intentional about my own prayer life, But because prayer is where we most actively seek to tap into the will that God has for us and the work of the Holy Spirit, I feel that like Jesus, I and we all are more engaged in our faith if we engage ourselves in that holy rhythm that can be found through prayer. And what does this holy rhythm really look like? A colleague of mine recently said, prayer reveals our belief about God. Prayer reveals our belief about God. If we pray to God to ask for things, for that new car or new boat or for our sports team to win, then we believe that God will act, as I like to phrase it sometimes, as a holy vending machine. God is for our benefit. Now, obviously, we all know that this is a bit too simplistic of an interpretation of God. After all, I've been praying for the Cubs to win the World Series for my entire life, and it still hasn't happened. Maybe this year. But in praying for our daily bread, we recognize God as the source for all good that we do receive, everything that gives us life. And more than that, the prayer that we hear in our gospel today says something specific about us as well, and about how we relate to God. Praying this prayer, Jesus reveals that as we ask of God, so we are called to work. When we pray, forgive us our sins, then we also live into the forgiveness of all those who have sinned against us. When we pray, your kingdom come, then we work to reveal that kingdom here on earth. The holy rhythm of prayer and faith is one that is constantly seeking to find balance between our lives and how we experience God. We pray to remind us of God's presence. We pray to remind us of who God is. And through remembering who God is in prayer, our place in the work of the Holy Spirit is also revealed to us. I don't usually steal from Catholics, but Pope Francis is a pretty smart guy, and he's got a lot of experience, so I'm going to quote him, a quote that he's credited as saying, "You pray for the hungry, then you go feed them." That is how prayer works. Some of us have heard that before. You pray for the hungry, then you go feed them. That's how prayer works. I really do believe there's a lot of truth to that. Prayer is not just asking for God to take care of things for us. Prayer is connecting with the will of God, the will of God's kingdom work, and then being an active part of that kingdom's presence here on earth. That is why when we pray as Jesus taught, we bring forth the natural continuation in our Lord's Prayer that we say today, your kingdom come. We continue that, your will be done. For when God's will is being done, the kingdom of God truly does draw near. That is why when we pray for the hungry and for the sick, we don't just pray, we then care. We craft homeless bags for those in need. We stock supplies for the storehouse. When we ask God's comfort and healing upon our friends and neighbors who are sick and grieving, we don't stop with prayer. We then actively participate in the healing and comfort. We visit the sick and grieving. We help them where we can. Prayer is a powerful thing. I really believe that. I think, though, it's more powerful than we give it credit for. But prayer is most powerful when we engage in prayer as a way of connecting with God and God's will for us instead of simply our will for God. And our guide for prayer is this prayer that Jesus taught, a prayer that begins in recognizing the holiness of God, hallowed be your name, continues by revealing hope for God's work to continue on earth, your kingdom come, and seeing that work continue in our receiving our daily bread. And throughout, the prayer that Jesus teaches calls us to action for the sake of the gospel and offers in all things a complete reliance on God's grace. So I invite you, pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Don't just speak it. Don't just go on autopilot. Pray it. Really pray it. Because in prayer, God's work and God's will is ever closer to us. And as God's will is revealed to us through the Word made flesh, through our work in the world, the kingdom of God continues to draw near. Amen.